For October the 7th, 2020, this is Tabota Talks Games, episode 195. So I realized in yesterday's episode, I talked through a couple of my, or the two decks that I've been switching up lately, moving on upwards towards Mythic through the ranks. And I realized I never talked about how the decks function, what the overall idea of the decks is. I just mentioned the cards that they included. Although I think I've talked about my my artifact decks before, but if you haven't been following the meta recently, you might not be aware of the Omnath Adventure Deck combo. But so I thought I'd do a little short episode and just talk about the decks, the whole strategy, and what the combos in there are all about. Also, a little update. I've been moving up through the ranks. Yesterday I was in the Platinum, and Platinum Tier 1, I think, and I managed to push up into Diamond. Went up into Tier 3 and then bounced back down to 4 just the last few matches. But the trajectory is still upwards, which is nice. I have a win rate of 57% at the moment for this season overall, so that's good. 59 wins, 44 losses. And so talking about Omnath Adventure, with that deck, I had a 61% win rate, so that's pretty good. 37 wins to 24 losses. And I mean, it's basically the adventure deck. Strategy there is really to get some as much value as possible. Of course, you're already with adventure, you have two cards in one. But then with the Edgewall Innkeeper, allowing you to draw an extra card whenever you play a creature that has an adventure. And then, of course, also the Lucky Clover, which will double the effect of the instance or sorcery that is attached to the adventure card. So, I mean, that's the main idea. You just want to ramp quickly with a lot of lands using the Beanstalk Giant. Just overwhelm your enemy with all the incredible value that you get out of the Lucky Clover and Edgewall Innkeeper. And, of course, in this later incarnation, after Corsa 2021, who could go without a Ugin in there? So, since we have a three Fey of Wishes in there, then you want to use that to grab your Ugin out of your sideboard once you have the lands for it. So the addition here is, of course, Omnath, the Locus of Creation, which gets a lot of bonus out of lands being played. It has the landfall ability. I'll just read it here. Landfall: whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, you gain 4 life. If it's the first time this ability was resolved this turn, if it's the second time, add 1 red, 1 green, 1 white, and 1 blue mana. If it's the third time, Omnath deals 4 damage to each opponent and each planeswalker you don't control. So there's, you want to really get 3 lands into play every turn if you can. Might not always be that easy. 2 lands is fairly doable with Fabled Passage. But of course, if you also play a Beanstalk Giant, or not Beanstalk Giant, itself, but it's sorcery, the fertile footsteps. if you can get that in play as well, you get an extra land, or with the Skiff of the Wilds, you can play an extra land. And of course, if you play Fertile Footsteps, when you have a Lucky Clover in play, you'll get, of course, an extra land as well. So that's the main strategy, just overwhelm your enemy. And with the addition of a white, this used to be a Temur adventure deck, but with the addition of white, there's also a Kenrith, the Returned King, in here. So you can get some. That has a lot of extra options for you. Of course, you're not going to use the black mana one, but I find that usually the only one I use is the red, which all creatures gain trample and haste until end of turn. It tends to be the only one I use. But yeah, still a good card to have in there. There's also a single copy of the Giant Killer, which has turned out to be really useful to destroy those pesky big creatures. I haven't actually used the tap target creature ability that the actual giant has when it comes into play. Or not the giant, but the giant killer. It's a human peasant. but yeah, just having it having that ability to destroy a target creature, and hopefully you're multiplying it with the Lucky Clover as well. And then just playing an adventure creature for just one white mana is also great for triggering the Edgewall Innkeeper. So this deck has brought me a lot of success so far. Like I said, win rate is 61%. On play, it's 74, and on draw, 46. So it's really skewed towards those. Having the advantage of starting first, which I wouldn't have guessed actually, since it's not a super fast deck. I would have guessed that it would have been better to on draw, but well, there you go. I've had the most problems with mirror matchups, which is not surprising, and then also the rogue decks, the blue black rogue decks, which are really common now. those have also given me some trouble. But otherwise, yeah, it's worked really great to my advantage. So the other deck that I was talking about is, of course, the Ancient Artifact deck. So I've been jumping back and forth between playing a standard and historic. So in standard, of course, playing the Omnath adventure deck, and then in historic, I'm playing my Ancient Artifacts deck, which has a 57% win ratio, 13 to 10. So I haven't played as many matches there in this season. Of course, this is a deck I've been working on since before that. But yeah, the main strategy is just to get you want to get Forsaken Monument out early, so you get a lot of value out of your colorless lands or mana sources. Of course, you're ramping into Ugin the Spirit Dragon, but also on the way, Ugin the Ineffable and Tesseract, Master of the Bridge. So the perfect play line will be to play a land and a Jinderbrute on turn one. On turn two, you want to get a Maze Mine Tome into play, so you can start scrying. I tend to try to scry every turn just before The opponent's turn ends. So you, if they're milling you, you don't want to scry before they mill, because then what's the point? But yeah, so just scry just before you pull a card, so you can a little bit you have gain a little bit of control over what you're going to draw, and also on the fourth time around, you're going to get that extra life boost, which is really helpful. So yeah, get the Maze Mind Tome into play on turn two. Ideally, on turn three, you get a Paladin Mirror in play. Turn four, you have five mana, or you have actually six mana, but then you can play the Forsaken Monument, and you'll have an extra land over, which will either be a just one, or it could be two if it's colorless. So you might be able to get another Maze Mind Tome into play. Or sometimes what I'll do is I'll play a Stonecall Serpent at that point, because you're getting a +2/+2 bonus for Forsaken Monument, so that'll already or immediately turn into 4/4, which is really powerful. Next turn, if everything is lined up, then you're already ready for Ugin the Spirit Dragon. And if you're really lucky, you also have an Ugin the Ineffable on hand. So with six lands, you're able to play both of those, because you can play Ugin the Ineffable first for six, which is just three lands if they're colorless, and that will bring down the cost of Ugin the Spirit Dragon by two. So it also costs six, and you can play that as well, which is a nice one-two punch. Another option is, of course, to play a Tesseract Master of the Bridge and then Ugin the Spirit Dragon, because that will do pretty much the same thing if you have a few artifacts in play. So yeah, and then you're almost home. You just have to mop up the enemy. Quite often they'll just give up at that point, but if they don't, usually it's smooth sailing, because all your artifact creatures are going to get that +2/+2. You're going to get two life for every artifact you play, and so on and so forth. So yeah, I really love this deck. It's really powerful, and so far it's been working out really well in Historic, even now after well, even in this well, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but it's still working great in Historic anyway.